produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
It's a beautiful day, even though it's raining quite hard, but I thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks, on the Josie's Inspiration Network, and the Finding My Way Network. Have you ever wondered how some people seem to be unfazed in the midst of all that is going on? I don't mean the ones who have not been personally touched by this virus, if there is such a person. I mean someone who you know that's lost someone dear to them or is in a financial hardship. But when you see them, they don't seem to be as terrified by all of the going-ons, the violence, and the seeming decay of morality all around us. I personally have become so drained that I watch the news very little now. No, I don't have my head in the sand, but I've learned that whatsoever you give the most energy, that's what grows. And I'm attempting not to answer negative comments with negative comments or allow public opinion to invade my personal space. And I must say it's not easy. That's why I chose the topic of how to pray during this time, how to pray during times of turmoil. In talking to people, most especially young people, there seems to be some kind of almost a numbness around how to channel all of the anger. One young man even said, "I understand that the world needs more love and peace, but how do you bring that about when at any time, just because of the color of your skin, you can be rendered null and void? Praying doesn't seem to avail much." Well, that depends on what you're praying for. And As it says in Romans, sometimes the pain and confusion get so bad, you don't even know what to ask of God or how to express your feelings. Romans 8:26 says that that's when the Holy Spirit intervenes. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, sent by God to give you the help you need, and if necessary, plead the case for you. But you have to be connected enough, to have the presence of mind enough, to know when it's time to surrender to your higher self for help. If we continue doing what we've always done, yeah, you know the rest, you're going to get the same results you've always gotten. Some people even said that that's the definition of insanity. People say a change is needed from the top, but a change has to first come from the inside, because no matter who sits in the seat of earthly power, without the knowledge of the true seat of power, nothing, and I do mean nothing, will ever change. In fact, it'll get worse. There's such a schism in the body of humanity. Everyone thinks whatever they believe is right, and they are willing to die for the privilege of being the loudest to say so. In Acts, there came a time when just by being on one accord led people to share not only material things, but companionship, fellowship, trust, and love, and all of that added new members to them daily. I know for that kind of change to take place, drastic steps must take place after all. All of that didn't happen until after the death of Christ, when people started to get themselves more together. This may be what's happening now. I've seen a coming together with the same mind, an explosion of people speaking up and taking on the mantle of change. With each unrest and affront to the needs of others, also came some change. Now, prayer is a conversation with the divine. It's a two-way experience. You see, you have to be still long enough to hear the answer to the prayer. And the answer to the prayer is within the prayer itself. With all that has transpired, instead of becoming anxious, let's use this time for that stillness to permeate every cell, to give us a new song, a new movement, and a much-needed new direction. One that is thought out, activated by love, not frustration. Now, I do understand that if you're not used to being alone with yourself, it may seem a useless and a waste of time, but what else is this important? Using the power of your mind, when it is connected to the almighty mind of God and His promises, makes all things new. Instead of complaining about not having anywhere to go, imagine your stillness as the place to be. We've forgotten what it means to just be, being the love you wish to experience, letting that unspeakable joy well up inside until it bubbles over for no other reason than you're secure in the knowledge that you're safe and you can comfort yourself and others, even in just some small way. Doing what you can where you are with what you have is in itself a prayer. And to do so with gratitude amplifies the action. Now, getting the mind off of self and your so-called lack is an act of reverence. Reverence for the life you have, for each breath you can take without pain or assistance. And channel that energy, if only in a thought, to someone else. Be the peace you wish to see. Being at peace brings gratitude, and gratitude brings plentitude, or to put simply, more to be grateful for. And as you immerse yourself in the glory of the time apart you've taken, without even realizing it, you have created a rhythm, an ebb and flow between your physical self and your divine self that, when continually entered into, changes everything around you. You've become that agent of change that the world is waiting for. I've heard it said that when you are looking for something, try being that thing instead. So I tried that. All during this time of the pandemic, I've done more and more introspection. Well, with that came some things that I didn't like about myself, so I attempted to change those things by being more patient, by being more loving, by being more considerate, even in the face of my own problems. Because the people that I encountered daily had nothing to do with those problems. Physical ailments and pains and things of that sort that were devastating to me, the other people had nothing to do with. In fact, they were offering prayers for my healing. So what you have to do is allow yourself to feel all of the isness, all of the allness and the bigness of God, and just know that your prayer is not falling on deaf ears. And all of this that is happening did not take God by surprise. He already knows. And if people ask you, which they have asked me, well, if he already knew this was going to happen, why did he allow me to suffer so much? My brothers and sisters, although the test may seem hard and harder than most and very unfair, you cannot have a testimony without a test. You can't even have sympathy for someone. You can have a little empathy, but until you've walked a mile in their shoes, you have no idea what it's like. I watched a lady having to bury a loved one without her family being there. Now, this is a family that loves to hug and touch for no reason at all. So you can imagine how they would feel and what they would do to try to comfort one another in the face of their matriarch having transitioned. Now, as the minister, as the celebrant for her life, I could say all of the words I needed. I could quote all of the scripture that related to the situation. But what that lady really needed was someone to wrap their arms around her and say, I understand. And I couldn't do that. We're supposed to be 6 feet apart. So my challenge was to make my words wrap around her and touch her. And the most important thing that I could say didn't come from me, and it wasn't my arms. It was the arms of the divine. So what I did was I had the 10 or 15 people that were there settle down, and we went into a meditation. And in that meditative state, we saw her loved one on her porch in her favorite chair, talking to the kids, laughing, listening to music, and just being totally healthy, well, whole, and perfect. And I told them all to just see that, feel that, smell the cooking coming out of her door, because something always wonderful was being done in her kitchen, and you could smell it clean to the outside. And just imagine that. Hold that thought the way the divine is holding their loved one and them, because the only reason that you feel that pain of separation is because of the amount of love you had. So can you imagine the pain of separation that our divine creator feels when we don't take time to remember with him, to say, I surrender. I have no idea what to do in this situation, but I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to give it all to you. And yes, as I speak to you right now, my pain can be overwhelming. And I'm sitting here believing every word I say. And I'm feeling the pain drain from my body even as I speak to you. Now, this isn't some kind of airy-fairy or witchcraft or just something that I'm thinking. This is real. I can imagine the light of the divine going to the parts of me that are diseased right now. And when I say diseased, I mean anything that can be happening to you. There is absolutely nothing that is too big for God. When doctors say, we don't know what else to do. When people say, there's nothing that you can do. They have no idea the God we serve. And the communication and the connection with which you serve that God. It doesn't have to be in a church. It doesn't have to be flowery. It doesn't have to be, oh, thou great and morning star. God knows who he is. He doesn't need all those platitudes. All you have to do is say, Father, I need you. Now, if you are a parent, mother, father, or one that's standing in the gap for a mother and father, if the child you love said, I need you, how many mountains would you move? How much hellfire would you wade through to get to that child to be of service? Now think about the Father that created everything. And not only created you, created all the bliss around you that you disconnected yourself from yourself. When you disconnected yourself from the divine, take time. That's what prayer is. Time to sit and be. Curl up in the lap of God and let him rock you. Let the Lord himself just swallow you up. Be in that place. And people say your happy place, wherever that is, just invite God to be there with you. I'm listening to the rain and it's absolutely beautiful because the rain brings so much freshness and so much stillness. And it's so green where I am right now. I'm blessed that I'm not in the midst of some of the horrible storms that we have going on. And I'm praying for my brothers and sisters who are. But in the eye of the storm is peace. And wherever you are, you can be that eye of the storm. You can be that for yourself. And you can be that to the point that it bubbles over from within you and becomes that for others. That's what we need. And I think, in a way, that's what the Creator has done here with this time. Now, we call things a pandemic, and what that means is worldwide. Now, what we need is a worldwide explosion of faith, of gratitude, of believing, of loving, of taking care of our brothers and sisters, because, yes, we are our brother's keeper. We are our brothers. And if you don't believe me, think about what happens when one species is overrun and destroyed and whatever they used to eat no longer exists. It's a chain, and we are a chain, and we're only as strong as our weakest link. I'm telling you right now to shore up every weakness that is within you by going to the Word of God. It works so well, brothers and sisters, that you don't even have to know where to start reading. You can close your eyes, set your intention for what you need to pray for. Hold your Bible in your hand and just open it and start reading wherever your eyes fall. I guarantee you that you're going to find something within that passage that answers your prayer. And if nothing else, the 23rd Psalm says it all. We have a shepherd. We need to follow that shepherd. He wants nothing but the best. He has set up all the best. That's how you pray in times of turmoil. You turn from the turmoil. You turn to what is great and what is glorious. And if you only had one moment in your life, way back when you were 3 years old, if you can remember that, bring up the feeling, bring up the love, bring up the joy, bring up any platitude that you can. And remember, and remember daily. Rejoin the body of Christ. Even if you just breathe the name of Jesus, if that's all you can do, that's all that's needed. Because like the scripture says, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings that only God understands. But the Holy Spirit understands all of your weariness. Jesus understands all of your pain. And the God of us all is here to erase that. And why didn't he just stop you from doing something stupid that would cause pain? Because some of us need to learn the hard way. And once you've learned your lesson, a mind stretched cannot go back to the same little space that it occupied. It won't be satisfied. Just like I'm never satisfied until I can get back to my little prayer closet and enjoy my communion time with my Father. That's my joy. And sometimes it overruns me. It's like I can't wait to get apart. We are people set apart. They said we're peculiar. We're peculiar because all we want is to be in a place of peace with God and to be on one accord with the Father. Now to do that, we have to declutter. So we start by decluttering all of the space around you that you're going to sit in and pray. And then start decluttering your mind. Declutter anything that you're thinking about anyone. The Bible says, if you have aught against your brother, take care of that first before you come and make your petition known to God. So you can't pray to God with animosity in your heart towards someone else or judgment towards someone else. So use your forgiving nature, like the God of you has a forgiving nature. Just release all disappointments, all negativity from your mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and financial bodies. Because you see, in this realm, we need finances. And money is not evil. The way people handle money and the way they're greedy and what they will do to get money can be evil. But God is well aware that you need financial assistance, that you need divine perfect health, that you need a roof over your head to keep you away from the elements, and that you need a space that is totally yours. All of that peace that people don't understand, because we're all listening to what's going on in the world today, and the fires and the floods and the political upheaval. But to be one of those people who look at it and say God is in control and there's a purpose for all of this is going to take strength and it's going to take work. But I'm telling you, we can do it. And from the bottom of my heart, I believe that everything that we're working towards is in the purpose of God. So I'm asking you to relax, rejuvenate your mind, release everything to the Father, and live the blessed life that He has for you. This is Reverend Lydia saying thank you for listening. Be blessed.
Not scared to say, I used to be the one preaching it to you. That you could overcome, I still believe it, but it ain't easy. Cause that world I painted, where things just don't work out, it started changing, and I started having doubts, and it got me so
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, and happy Thursday. As always, the song that you have heard before the start of the show is by my good friend and church member, Amber Patterson DePaolo. Please do reach out to me if you are interested in her music. We actually have another CD of hers coming out here soon. And please do keep her in your prayers during this season. She is an expectant mother during this pandemic time. So please keep her in your prayers. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Tammy Polk, your lovingly annoying, dynamically different, yet professionally sassy host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. And what I want to bring to you today is a topic that I spoke about last week during the Righteously Southern Ladies Conference. And the subject of my talk was finding joy by having a winner's state of mind. So you have to ask yourself, what does the subject of winning have to do with finding joy? The short answer to that is a lot. Because when it comes to finding joy and having a winner state of mind, I want to break down the word winner. First of all, the W is for work for it. You are going to have to expend time, money, and effort many times to have a winning state of mind and find joy. Now, you may say, well, Tammy, I don't have a lot of money right now. I get that. You may say, Tammy, I don't have a lot of time right now. I get that. However, it is going to take work in order for you to find joy and to keep it. Joy is something that in this day and time, when we are inundated with so much from the media, from our families, from our jobs, just the demands of everything, it makes you feel as though finding joy is impossible. But the thing of it is, whether we are working towards survival or we are working towards thriving, we have to understand that it is going to take work. So W in winter is for work for it. I is for innovation is key. Now, I know that I don't have to tell anybody here that you have to pivot and change the way that you do life, faith, family, ministry, and business right now. The key to innovation is you have to find a way to do whatever it is that you need to do in a way that leads to you having joy. And then you also have to understand that you have to have joy in the small things that you are able to get done and not judge your joy by the accomplishments of somebody else. You may not be able to make the moves that they made. You may not be able to do what it is that they did. But what you have to do is ask within yourself, what is it that I can do in order to get to the next step that's going to bring me joy? Because you have to understand that when it comes to changing the way that you do things. Sometimes that change that you have to make will be for the better, and it just might be something that you needed to start doing in the first place. So I is for innovation is key. N, the first N, is for not naysayer proof. I'm going to tell you this, on your journey of achieving your level of joy, it is not going to come without the naysayers. Yes, you are going to hear the people who are talking about, girl, I don't know why you doing that, and honey, you better than me because I wouldn't be trying to, and girl, you about to do what? You do know it don't take all of that, right? But what you cannot allow to happen is for these naysayers to cause you to become a loser and stop fighting for your joy. Just because they may have had a certain experience while walking a similar path as you has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your journey. You have to find joy in knowing that there is always going to be someone somewhere, sometime, somehow, and somewhere that has or sees something wrong with what you do. Even Jesus had naysayers. I'm going to leave that right there. The first N is for not naysayer proof. The second N in this equation is for never give up. Even though I know that the world, in the words of my 7-year-old, has gone splat, you cannot give up. And the reason why you cannot give up is because there are people waiting for you to do so. There are people who are waiting to say, I told you so. There are people who are waiting to say, see, I told you you couldn't do that. There are people out there, honestly, who have prayed that you would give up. There are people out there who have bet money that you would give up. There are people out there who are sabotaging you because they know that the journey that you're on is going to produce a joy that they will never understand, and a joy that has absolutely nothing to do with your connection to them. But I want to take it a step further. You cannot give up because there is somebody within your four walls, whether you are married or not, who is looking to you to see what else is there to do, to see what is possible, to see what it is to persevere, to see what it is to keep going. They need to see you keep going, because by you continuing to move forward in your journey of finding joy, you give them joy. There are people out there who are praying for you and not against you, who want to help you to get to that space of joy because it gives them joy to help you. So you have to understand that in order to find joy by having a winner state of mind, you cannot give up. There is somebody out there who is hanging on a ledge, who thinks that they are alone, who thinks that they are crazy, and that nobody else has gone through this. You cannot give up. Because whether they say something to you or they don't, they are looking to you to see what is possible. The second N is for not giving up. The E is for encouraging others. You finding joy in your journey by having and working through a winner state of mind isn't just for you. It's also for you to be a conduit of blessing, a channel of blessing, if you will, to somebody else. Because there is somebody walking with or alongside, in front of, and even behind you who is watching your journey. And part of finding joy is reaching out and helping somebody else who is on their path to joy as well. The journey of finding joy isn't just for you. You encourage others by getting up every day and taking that next step. No matter how small it may be, getting up and taking that next step is going to help somebody. So that is the E for encouraging others. R, the final letter, is realize the end goal. There is a reason that you need to find joy in your journey. You need to see having joy as the reason for your journey. Paul in Timothy said that he has finished his course, that he wanted to finish his course with what? With joy. So you have to ask yourself, if joy is really your end goal, I want to take you through a quick walk into the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah knew all about fighting for joy and having a winner state of mind. When he found out what was happening back home, it crushed him. Because he wasn't expecting to hear a story of destruction. When you ask people about how things are going back at home, you expect a report of joy because you have questions. You want to know if this is still open or if somebody is still around or something like that. You're looking for a reason to laugh and to smile. You're not expecting to hear what Nehemiah heard. Nehemiah was told that the gates were broken down and burned with fire, and it took joy from him. But he said, you know what? I've got to go home and restore the joy that is ascribed to the city of Jerusalem. And he was so downhearted that the king said, boy, what's wrong with you? And Nehemiah told him what was the situation at home. And he asked leave to go home and rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the walls to do what? Bring back the joy. Joy was Nehemiah's end goal. But you know what, though? He had to work for it. This wasn't a regular let us rise up and build because the people of the Lord were scattered. He had to find them first. Then he had to shift. Innovation was key because he had to shift the way that he rallied the people together. It wasn't that who was on the Lord's side mentality. It was more like, my Lord, let me find God's people, pull them into one place, and bring back the joy. His journey was not naysayer proof because Rabshakeh and Sennacherib were on their way. And when they got there, they said, look at these foolish Jews. Do you really think that you are going to be able to overcome us? Do you really think that you are better than any other nation that we have taken out? Don't let Nehemiah fool you. But then Nehemiah said, you know what? We can't give up. The people building that wall, they had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. Nehemiah told them to fight. And when they came for Nehemiah, Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Nehemiah said, not today, Satan, you won't get me. And then he had to encourage the people of God because there were people there who were supposed to be the encouragers who were not doing their job. They told Rabshakeh, listen, speak to us in your language. We understand it. We don't want the people to hear. They panicked. So Nehemiah told them, he said, look, fight for your family, your houses, your wives, your children, your faith. Fight for it all. Because Nehemiah realized the end goal. And that was to restore joy. And that is exactly what happened. When that wall was rebuilt, when God's people were back together, they celebrated. There was joy in the camp once again. Not only because the wall was rebuilt, but because God stepped in. God gave Sennacherib a battle he wasn't looking for. And he's going to do the same with you. See, Sennacherib had a battle in front of him because he was going after God's people. So God had to deal with him going towards his people, just like he will do with the enemy for you. When the enemy turns his face towards you, God says, oh, no, 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 no. Let me tell you what we are not going to do. Then God put a battle behind Sennacherib. You think you've got my people? I'm glad you left the house because now I'm going to put a battle behind you. And when Sennacherib went back to protect what was his, he ended up losing his life. That brought another sense of joy to God's people because God stepped in on behalf of his children and dealt with his enemies. So as my time winds down, I want to say that even in the midst of all that the world is going through, we cannot afford to not have a winner's state of mind. Now, I know I sound really, really, really fired up about this. But I'm telling you, there is joy even in this journey. That's why on social media on Fridays, I ask people what went right. What goal did you accomplish? Because if you are able to make a step with anything at all, it was worth it. Let me end my show by saying thank you to two very special people. Kayla Padgett, you know I love you bunches and oodles. Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into having this radio show in the first place. Thank you so much for everything that you have done. Guys, that is my time. God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging and have that winner's state of mind. See you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I know how you feel, fighting for another breath, searching for the strength to lift your legs another step. Wounded by the past, how long will it last? Buried by the heavy weight, it won't be long. Keep holding on, you won't have to wear those chains. Help is on the way. Every prayer is heard, your rescue's coming just in time. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills, you won't be overcome. It won't be long, keep holding on, sure as the rising sun. Help is on the way, help is on the way.
Series. The following program is not a source of medical advice. Suzanne Mosley and the coaches for the Southern Fried Keto Foodie are not medical doctors, dietitians, or nutritionists. Please consult your doctor regarding information discussed on the show or before beginning any type of weight loss program.
On today's show, I want to share with you a story of one of my clients that might give you some insight regarding your own personal struggles. If you're listening to the show, you've at least heard of the ketogenic diet and the possibilities it has to offer you, but you've also probably heard of the paleo diet as well. Even some ketoers have incorporated paleo into their ketogenic diets, which the two are absolutely compatible. The differences between the two dietary plans are similar in allowable ingredients, but keto adds in a bit more science of metabolism to the equation. Where keto takes your plan to optimal fueling levels with consistent blood glucose levels, paleo does not account for insulin or blood glucose spikes,
And if you're struggling with higher blood glucose levels or insulin resistance, a standard paleo plan may not be a perfect scenario for you in a few ways. Welcome again to the Weight of the World program on Lifted Authors Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series and Ketogenic Lifestyle Coach. Within my broadcasts, my purpose is not only to guide you along your ketogenic path, but also help you navigate other factors that play into your success from everyday life. When coaching my clients, I take a big picture perspective because your health is not only a result of what you eat, but also what you surround yourself with. I have a great client who has put in her due diligence to research the ketogenic diet and specifically how it can help her regain her health. She truly is an amazing person, and thankfully I can speak candid about her scenario because she not only wants to learn to gain control of her own health, she also wants to help others who may be in the same boat and would also benefit from her experience and personal research. She's recently begun the process of transforming her entire household to a paleo keto style plan so that even her kids can learn how important it is to be mindful of what you consume. And who can argue with teaching our next generation that food is fuel rather than just an indulgence? This client, for anonymity's sake, I'm just going to call her M. M has always seen herself for the most part as healthy. She had a few things that were in her diet and lifestyle that weren't exactly the best, but her checkups always resulted in healthy labs and healthy markers. She saw no reason to really be concerned with her indiscretions. One day, she decided to remove a few of what she referred to as vices, and two of those vices included stimulants such as caffeine. We're talking coffee and Red Bull, and those are very common with people. Of course, her struggle to remove her caffeine addiction from her life was a tough one, as it would be for anyone. However, the withdrawal symptoms also included one symptom that most people really don't pay attention to at the forefront. Caffeine is a metabolic stimulant, and in her case, meaning that her metabolism would slow down once the stimulants were removed. Oddly, the majority of people don't realize this metabolic slowdown is going to inevitably lead to a small amount of weight gain. Now, to give you a bit of a backstory on M, in the past 2 years, she's mainly transitioned to the paleo diet. She did, however, still indulge in dairy, which seems to be a common exclusion with most paleo plans. Although she was not eating standard white sugar, she was still eating coconut sugar, honey, and the likes. Yes, those are healthier options than sugar, but only due to the lack of processing. Those options still spike blood sugar and insulin responses. For ketoers, any glucose spiking sweeteners are a no-no, of course. But then again, she was doing paleo rather than keto. But anyway, she'd already removed processed foods, carby breads and pastries, standard pasta, and the like. For a time, those items being removed from her diet offset her slowed metabolism to the extent that weight gain was not really all that bad. But as her body adjusted to not having that everyday stimulant and the changes in her diet, she came to the point that most paleo to keto converts eventually face. That is that their metabolisms have become more sensitive to sugar and glucose increasing paleo-friendly options. You see, M is in her mid-40s, and like so many of us, she is experiencing what I like to call the midlife slowdown. You know what I mean, that dreaded middle age spread. When you combine this midlife occurrence with a metabolism that has honestly been damaged by years of being accustomed to those stimulants, it can cause weight loss to be difficult when you don't take in consideration the metabolic processes that occur and how safe weight loss actually happens. During 2020, M experienced the same stress factors as many of us. That stress then compounded with the damaged metabolism, the midlife slowdown, and the glucose roller coaster, she began to see more than just a couple of vanity pounds show up on her scale. M gained 25 pounds before she even realized it. Now, to most, 25 pounds wouldn't really seem like that big of a deal, but to someone who is uncomfortable with that additional weight, it can be downright miserable. I remember being on a call with her and hearing her say, "I'm miserable being overweight. I haven't been this weight since the day I gave birth to my child." And although most people around her didn't actually like see the weight gain, she felt it every day. I asked her if she had a set of weights around the house or something she knew was that weighed roughly 25 pounds. I told her to go get it, and every time she moved around, pick the weighted object up and carry it with her. Just one day of acknowledging the amount of extra pressure on her body would help remind her as to why she needed to get her ketogenic plan in motion. Not to mention, she'd actually be getting a little bit of a workout to boot. Carrying an extra 25 pounds, it's a lot heavier than you think. So I then asked Em if she would be an experiment for me. I wanted to not only use her as an example for all of you, but I also wanted to give her a real-life example in herself to help her understand the insulin glucose response is something she needed to acknowledge in her lifestyle. She isn't in her 20s anymore, and her body has different needs. And as you know now, she's agreed. The plan I laid out for her essentially put her on a full-blown keto diet, but without the macros counts. She decided to drop sugar or any natural sweeteners that would affect her blood glucose levels the same or similar to sugar. For 5 days, Em went without sugar. And then the next 5 days, she went without sugar and incorporated mild to moderate exercise, typically working in her garden or walking. I predicted that she would lose 3 to 5 pounds in the first week, which would mainly be water weight. She actually had a slip-up with coconut sugar, but got back on track quickly. Even with that, I wasn't too far off. Taking that mistake in consideration, as she lost 2.4 pounds in a 5-day period. The second week, I predicted that she would only lose about 1 to 2 pounds, because I took in consideration that she would be dealing with lactic acid and fluid buildup within her muscles due to increased exercise and activity. She lost 2 more pounds, which was fantastic. The end result was her acknowledging that blood glucose levels and insulin truly are major factors in weight loss as well as overall health. By removing the sugar, she felt better, less sluggish, and allowed for an easier time losing the weight she had gained over the past year. She was already eating mainly keto foods, except for adding in glucose-based sweeteners, so removing those pushed her into a standard ketogenic foods category. I'm pretty sure a few of you are wondering if going from paleo to keto still resulted in the dreaded keto flu. She actually did experience some of those symptoms, but only a couple that lasted for a brief period of time. She had 2 days of headaches, paired with fatigue and bathroom issues due to rapid fluid loss, but she was able to correct her electrolytes rather quickly by making sure that her diet included proper amounts of great sources of magnesium, potassium, and sodium, while keeping her water intake optimal. After a couple of days, she started feeling great and seeing positive results, which kept her motivated to keep going. I always tell my clients, celebrate your small victories. Celebrating those small victories can honestly give you an extra dose of determination so that you can continue to meet your goals. Em has agreed to stay on the ketogenic diet to see how it can benefit her in the long term, in helping her adjust her household ingredients to cover not only her dietary needs, but help her children to eat more nutritiously. She is learning to recreate her own family favorites so that she doesn't lack in food varieties as she has always enjoyed. It will still take her some time, as it did with all of us, to adjust completely to being 100% comfortable with her own individual plan. However, she now has the knowledge, experience, and proof that this plan can benefit her. As she continues the process of losing the rest of her additional weight, she has had continued increases in energy, stamina, and focus. So for those of you who are on the paleo diet and have been curious as to whether or not switching to keto would be beneficial for you, let me give you a few pieces of information to ponder. First, you're going to want to ask yourself if keto truly will advance your goals. Take in consideration your medical health, your activity level, and what benefits you feel keto would add to your long-term goals. And as always, you're going to want to consult your doctor with any medical concerns or questions that you may come across during your research. Secondly, make a comparison of paleo foods and keto foods that you are or would be eating and see where your existing choices overlap. Sticking with ingredients that your taste palate is familiar with and are keto compliant will actually help you transition with a bit more ease. You can always incorporate new choices and remove others as you transition to a completely keto plan. Next, you want to make what I like to call an emergency backup plan. This is where you look ahead and prepare for issues that you know may affect your successful transition, such as urges for sweets and foods that you know you're going to struggle leaving behind. Keto-compliant treats and pre-portioned bite-size options are a great way to help you move past any cravings that could potentially derail your attempts to tighten up your goal plans. Your emergency backup plan should also include other snack options than just sweets. Having on-hand compliant replacements for salty snacks is a great idea as well. Low-carbohydrate nuts, such as pecans and macadamias, bite-sized cheese cubes, portioned keto-compliant deli meats, cheese chips made of Parmesan or cheddar, all of those are great choices. Some other choices that we like to keep on hand most of the time are, honestly, we just keep some deviled eggs in the fridge sometimes. Sometimes I'll play with the ingredients and change up the flavor profiles, or simply just some hard-boiled eggs. There's only three of us in our home, so I make about a half dozen every so often, as I only want to make enough just to get us through a day or two. I'm not real fond of deviled eggs that have been sitting for more than a day or two. But a great way to add a little kick to your deviled eggs, add a bit of hot sauce to your filling mixture and top with blue cheese crumbles and bacon. They are uber tasty. Also, you can take a little bit of your favorite keto-friendly Cajun seasoning and toss that in there as well, and they make for great Cajun deviled eggs. Another one is cream cheese and celery sticks. Cream cheese is so easy to personalize. You can take a block of softened cream cheese and add in keto-friendly favorites to create your favorite flavor profile. Some of our favorite suggestions include everything but the bagel seasoning, buffalo and blue cheese crumbles, smoked lox and chives, and garlic and bacon. We also love to add a bit of strawberry puree or chunks and use our cream cheese over cucumbers to make for a nice little sweet treat. These make for a great variety of flavors, so you don't feel like you're always eating the same thing over and over again. Another option is homemade sour cream based dips with raw veggies such as broccoli or pepper slices. Adding a splash of coconut aminos with a few finely diced fresh chives is one that gets repeated here a lot. You can also make your own French onion dip too. Just brown a couple of tablespoons of finely diced yellow onions and add them to your favorite sour cream with just a little splash of coconut aminos. Add a little salt to balance out the flavor, and you have a super tasty dip that everyone will love, whether they're keto or not. Now for this one, you're going to want to break something out to jot this down with. Grab your pen, grab your piece of paper, because this one is a favorite everywhere. And some of you might actually recognize it from a variation of it from a restaurant, and it's a super popular horseradish dip. It's sour cream horseradish sauce. And I want to share with you that it goes not only well with just dipping for veggies. This is great for salmon. It's great for steak. It's great for shrimp. It's great for so much more. You can even take cucumber slices and toss them in this sauce and eat them, and it's fantastic. So the super simple recipe. You take a half a cup of sour cream, a quarter teaspoon of garlic powder, 2 tablespoons of hot prepared horseradish. Now be sure not to get horseradish sauce, as it tends to have sugar in the ingredient. However, you're looking for 100% prepared horseradish only. And they have the creamy style that doesn't have the ingredients added into it. It's just horseradish. Just make sure that you're reading your ingredients label. On top of that, you're going to put in a half teaspoon of finely chopped dill. And it can be fresh. It probably tastes a lot better when it's fresh, but you can use dried dill from your spice cabinet. That works great well as well. Take a small, very small pinch of erythritol. You're not looking for a sweet flavor. You're just looking for enough to enhance that garlic. Stir all of your ingredients together and you have a creamy sauce that pairs well with most any basic dinner option. Now, I wouldn't be truthful if I didn't share with you that all day, every day, our snack staple in this house is, you guessed it, bacon. We love bacon in just about everything, so it only makes sense that we have snack bacon on standby as well. Bacon makes a great option because the fat content satisfies, and each piece is only about 3 grams of protein. So those of you who may have smaller protein counts won't be digging into your meal allotment of protein a whole bunch, and it's so super tasty. Using these suggestions, along with a final suggestion of be patient with yourself, you are sure to have a successful transition from paleo to keto so that your goals can become a reality just like so many others. Using these techniques and these little tips, along with doing your own research or getting with a ketogenic coach or doctor who is fluent in the ketogenic diet, can help you become successful in your plan. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're interested in learning more about the ketogenic diet and how it can help you in your journey to better health, check out our page and join our free support group on Facebook. You can also find us on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our cookbook series, The Southern Fried Keto Foodie, in paperback and Nook version through barnesandnoble.com. Or you can find us in digital form as well on Amazon Kindle. If you are in need of a coach to help you create your own ketogenic plan or variation that is individualized to you, feel free to contact us for more information on how we can assist you. Email us at author@southernfriedketofoodie.com to request an information packet regarding our services and how we can help you. Please join me every month for more episodes of Weight of the World. For showtimes, follow my Weight of the World or Southern Fried Keto Foodie Facebook pages. You guys have been wonderful. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.